Aniara presents Takeoff by Jürgen Thielander. Chapter 1. The private jet taxied onto the runway at Los Angeles Airport, having been granted a direct slot to New York. As the aircraft took off, businessman Mark Manning settled back in his seat. It was indeed a truly comfortable seat, for he had furnished his private aircraft, a Dassault Falcon 7X, with every imaginable luxury. This version of the Falcon 7X accommodated 11 passengers and could be configured with both single and double beds. Naturally, it was a long-range aircraft that could easily cross the Atlantic. As he gazed at the lights below, he couldn't help but be mesmerized by L.A.'s vastness. There were lights, lights, lights as far as the eye could see. Mark Manning was a self-made man and a true New Yorker. Born in Tribeca without a silver spoon in his mouth, but with an ambition to change his life, to become someone. At just 12, he realized that every person must start where they stand. So he began by selling newspapers and took any odd job he could find outside of school to earn money. In the same building as the Mannings lived a woman who had taken a shine to Mark, recognizing that he wanted more from life than other children. She worked as a broker on Wall Street and often told Mark about life there, and he was utterly fascinated. Over time, he learned more and more about the stock market, and one day he asked his friend if she could offer him some advice, as he now wanted to invest the little money he'd saved. She was delighted to help him put what he'd learned over the years to use. At 15, he made his first stock market trades. It turned out that Mark had an excellent memory and good instincts, and he started making money. He reinvested everything he earned, except for 20%, in the stock market. He took increasingly greater risks, but with his mentor's support, he avoided the worst pitfalls. The 20% he set aside would later fund his education and his year at Harvard Business School in Boston, where he gained admission after considerable effort. This would prove immensely valuable in the years to come. During his time in Boston, he became a skilled day trader and had by now accumulated substantial capital to invest in more secure ventures. He was now, several years later, a successful investment banker focusing on property both in the U.S. and internationally. The week he had spent with his mistress in Malibu had done him good. Few were as pleasant to be with as she, and she was a master of lovemaking. During the first few days when he would come down to her in L.A., they barely left the bed. Well, perhaps only for a dip in her large pool or in the sea below the villa. Sue, an unmarried, wealthy, and elegant woman, was delighted whenever he came to visit. With her, Mark found peace for his restless soul, and he relished being able to walk straight from her house to the beach and simply stroll or jog, naturally equipped with his Marshall headphones listening to good music on Spotify. What a contrast to the Big Apple. They had enjoyed Malibu in each other, but also had wonderful conversations about life and existential matters. Both were privileged these days, but they had worked hard for it. Anything was possible if you wanted it badly enough. They had been reminded of this recently when they took Sue's Bentley cab to Restaurant Spago in Los Angeles for dinner. It always served the finest cuisine, and they often encountered the famous owner, Wolfgang Puck, with whom Mark enjoyed sharing a Cohiba. Cuban cigars weren't permitted for sale in the U.S., but Mark always ensured he stocked up when abroad. The motto above Spago's entrance, "If you can dream it, you can do it," had caught Mark's eye in his 20s when he first visited the restaurant in L.A. It had profoundly influenced his life ever since. "Darling, breakfast is ready," Sue called to Mark in the bedroom. "I asked Ellen to prepare bacon and eggs for you today, as you have a long day ahead." Sue entered in her short, thin dressing gown and approached the bed. "Mark, you must get up now." "Not a chance," said Mark, throwing off the duvet to reveal a magnificent morning glory. He pulled her into bed, and she offered no resistance, none whatsoever. "You're impossible," she said as she straddled him, taking command. She wouldn't regret it, nor would he for that matter. They were perfectly synchronized in bed. The aircraft had now reached cruising altitude, and he began contemplating going to sleep, fortunate that he had ordered a bed for the flight.
"How many hours do we have to New York today, Natasha?" he asked his captain, peering into the cockpit.